Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. Record highs. Yeah, record highs. I know, completely unexpected. I thought we were in this corrective mode. I thought it was really choppy trading. But in fact, the VIX, which is a measure of volatility, it's just another big word for, you know, how they kind of sort of measure volatility, is trading at the lowest level since the pandemic started. So how is it that we get this misinformation, right? It's really choppy trading. No, actually, it's not. It's really boring trading, like really boring. The lowest volatility since the pandemic started. But that's not what I hear. That's not what I hear all the time, right? As we talked last week, it's kind of fun to do, to be thinking, you know, kind of some, it's sometimes good to make your brain hurt, right? Where you're just trying to think about where are we getting data? And it was so interesting because as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, I kind of had a couple notes and, hey, one of these days soon, we want to talk about how easy it is to get rich, you know, and just how to do it, right? Like, it's like, this isn't hard. Let's just talk about it, right? I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how it is you draw income for a life. It's a pretty incredibly interesting thing. It's kind of sort of what we do, so we find it really fascinating. But it's a challenge, right? It's a difficult challenge. It's something that you don't just put money into like a 60-40 portfolio in a zero interest rate world, and it works. So I like talking about that too. But last week, I talked about how do you get news that's not biased? Where do you get real information, and how do you know? We talked about thinking and all those other things. And then, bam, it's the week of our, if you will, annual Zoom conference, you know, which is fine. It's just weird. We're all used to traveling off once a year to a giant conference with thousands of people and all that stuff, right? And now everybody's Zooming, which has some serious advantages, right? You can choose to, you know, have your office, if you will, watching different ones, sharing information. There's lots of good in it, right? But I realized again, thinking about last week, how fortunate I am to be in this industry. I'm fortunate because it's been an unbelievably successful career. Financially, it's ridiculous, but it's very filling, right? I mean, you get to do so many things. You know, I've been shifting in latest years more to be doing, you know, if you will, the investing, the trading, and all that stuff, and less one-on-one with clients. Still have lots and lots of clients that do a lot of client work, which is great. But you can shift from, you know, that counseling role and that coaching role, and you're starting to mentor younger, next generation advisors coming in. And it's all a challenge, and it's all amazing, and so that's all really a blessing to do. But to also have some of the biggest minds talking, they're available to you, right? We talk about all the time, you know. We talk to the J.P. Morgan people, we talk to the Goldman Sachs people, and you know, it's great. You run off to New York, and you bounce to a few places, and those are fantastically enlightening trips, right? That's the way it's been. Now we're all Zooming, but it also means you get this in a lot of different areas. But back to what we talked about last week. It's hard, and you have to be intentional to get unbiased news. You have to be super intentional. It's not, you can't just get COVID data. You have to get COVID data basically pretty much from non-biased places. And you're like, oh, I don't want something filtered by, you know, CNN or Fox for that matter. I want the data. I want a group of economists that just pull it together. Here's the CDC data, and here's why the CDC has been wrong, and all of these different tidbits. But I want global. I don't want the United States. The CDC has been hopelessly bad. I mean, they really have. It's like, what is their job? To look for a pandemic. We get one and they can't even figure it out. And they've got, what, 200,000 employees or something? It's a huge number of people. that must have just been standing around, you know, sitting on their thumb for decades. Because their reaction has been horribly slow, right? But what is their job? What happened is their job. And the information coming out isn't good. And I get it. This disease changes and we have to be willing to change with it, right? But you realize that I realize how fortunate I am to have data that comes to me, like literally every day, that is just data. Very well sorted, thought out, easy to understand data. Not, here's why you should never get the vaccine. That's not what I get. These are the statistics from the UK, from Israel, and so on, of what the different conditions that exist, whether you're vaccinated or not, how many people die, how many people go to the ICU, all of those things, which I think are very important to understand financially where we're going. How big a deal is this going to be? How long will it last? We don't know. And predicting it is foolish. I'm going to share some stuff with you today. It just shows how incredibly foolish it is to predict the future. It's just impossible. It's just impossible. But this week, when you have, this is Schwab's annual meeting. Okay, well, TD Ameritrade, which is where we've cleared securities for several years now, many years. And Schwab are hitching up. Now, two big firms like that, it takes a long time. So we're still at TD, but really there's only one annual meeting now, and that's Schwab. So that's where it is. Well, there's tens of thousands of people on these calls, meaning you also have access to make your choice amongst 10, say, at any given time, 10 different meetings you can attend that are really, really high-level people, right? You know, and people like Ben Bernanke speak, all of that stuff. And that's fine. And I don't really care that Ben Bernanke speaks. He speaks all the time. And he's been wrong an awful lot, right? It's not like they're able to see the future any better than anybody else. But you get the point. The caliber of speakers is pretty high. Pretty high. So therefore, the caliber of thought is great. And, you know, I've spoken many times very glowingly about Malcolm Gladwell, and he was on, and darn it, I cannot remember the guy's name, but he's just super, like John Gordon, I think it might be. No, it's not. That's another guy I listen to. Anyway, I'll think of it. But they were doing this back and forth, and it was such good brain food, you could feel your brain changing. I'm serious. I mean, just this back and forth, like, why don't I really agree with you this? And it was kind of, there's an old movie, and I'll get the name of it later, that I remember this. It's two guys had dinner that was, My Dinner with Andre, which kind of reminded me of that, where they just sat around and talked, and it was the weirdest movie ever. Like, this has got to be the lowest budget ever because, you know, they had nothing blowing up. They two guys just having dinner. But it kind of reminded me of that back and forth and the thinking. And again, got me thinking about what we talked about. Of taking a step back and can we change our minds? Are we allowing other thought to come in? And by and large, the answer is no, we don't. No matter how hard you think you try, you're really not. I'm not. Because we're human and it's very difficult to do. But when you see two people doing it, it's kind of neat to see. And it teaches us. But anyway, back to what I was saying. All of this comes together to say, we got some of the best stuff last week, and that's one of the things that's so cool about what we do. And then to share that with our clients, share that with each other, because we didn't all watch the same ones. And to learn and to grow. Every day is different, and it helps us to be thinking differently because every day is different. And that's exciting. And so it is fun. So again, one of those things that I know I have an advantage with is that there are so many sources that literally filter down and are available to me every day. But I also got to thinking about this. How many people don't take advantage of that? How many people don't read, don't listen to podcasts, don't attend any kind of a growth meeting? It's indicative of our society. Now, I listen to podcasts that already give me more data of exactly what I already believe. That's not what I'm meaning. How many people listen to a podcast that challenges their thinking? Challenges their status quo? We have to ask ourselves that all of the time. All the time. Because the investing world is just always changing. And when we hear the information coming in that you hear people babbling about, yeah, the volatility, it's up one day, down the other. We just hit all-time highs again this week. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to be in a world of complete chaos, and we are. I get it. The world's upside down. I totally get it. This is why this information is so important. Because if we govern it by what our emotions are about how inept Joe Biden is, and it's not because of his policies, and I disagree. He's clearly inept. I don't know if you saw the town hall meeting or clips of it, but oh my word. I mean, it's not something that's... This is the leader of the free world. Frightening. He even said at one point, what am I doing here? To himself. Loud enough for the microphone to hear. Incredible. Said a number of things that the White House had to literally say were not true. It's incredible. Frightening. It doesn't have anything to do with how many iPhones Apple will sell this year. That's the differences, and we got to kind of separate those two out. It's hard. I get that the world's upside down. But learning more about or getting more wound up about how awful the Justice Department is or how awful this is or that, hey, we need to fight the good fight. I get that. But I already know that. And getting wound up about it isn't helping me have clear thought about whether I ought to be owning these great corporations for the long term. But getting this data in or information all the time is really a cool thing for us. And we have to think about it. So with that, I think we'll see what happens in a second. But anyway, I got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'd love to hear what you want to talk about, too. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, just a little teaser of some of the information coming in the next hour here. This is just one of my favorite things. I've talked about it for years and years, but we just got the new chart in, the new updated chart. This comes from Davis Investments. They've published it periodically for, I don't know, it's got to be 20 years at least, maybe longer. But because I remember just sitting with it and just going, wow, this is crazy. All right, this is a six-month average forecast only of interest rates, not what the economy is going to do, just interest rates, nothing else, right? I mean, nothing else. And it's just six-month forecast done every January and June. That's it, right? That's it. Just that only twice a year. Not ongoing. So just let's figure out from the Wall Street Journal, right? Survey of economists. Which way interest rates are going to go? Up or down? Well, that's it. That's it. Up or down? Up or down? Up or down? That's it. Nothing big. I mean, we all know interest rates are going higher in the next 6 months, right? Because we're told that. So what we do is we focus like a laser beam on all of this babble, like, oh, well, the JP Morgan people feel like their interest rates are going to be okay, good. Guess what? They're wrong less. They're right less than a coin flip. That's right. They get it wrong more than half the time. Amazing. Amazing. We'll talk more about that. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming after Fox News. We'll be back after that. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Comments, questions during the week, places to go get podcasts. Stay in touch with us. Ask questions. PetsoFinancial.com. All right. I got so much stuff here. It's ridiculous. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm totally overwhelmed. Not at all. It was just an interesting week. I find it very interesting. But first of all, I have to say this. If we talk about a stock, we talk about a sector, we talk about whatever it is, it has nothing to do with your portfolio, and you should never think you should buy, 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 or sell, sell, sell. That's idiotic. It's ridiculous. There you go. My disclosure is done. We're here to think differently, to learn where to get good data, to be thinking forward, to be thinking long term instead of short term, right? It's how wealth is built, you know? It's just not a gambling thing. There's a lot of gambling going on out there, right? And Robin Hood, you buy a little share of this, just like you put $10 on the Knicks game, you put $10 on a stock for a day. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Everybody from the guy doing your lawn to the plumber is an expert on the markets trading Robin Hood. Can be. It reminds me a bit of 2000. It doesn't end well for people like that. It never does. Hopefully they're having fun. But it is a really, it's a distraction. It deflects from what we really should be doing and thinking about. Yeah, maybe even takes time away from your work or your family that you shouldn't be doing. But in particular, it makes us think wrong about our investments. These aren't gambling chits. It's just, this is an easy game to work if we just work it. Leave it alone, let it be. I know. I like to throw the dice, but I don't do it every day, and I don't do it all day long. We need to have lines drawn on that. So be very careful of how much trading you're doing. We're here to think differently about this stuff, to help each other do that. So one of the things that I obviously was talking about in the first hour, we've got the opportunity to have lots and lots and lots of data coming to us. Yeah, whether it's a guy from Davis Funds, which we use some of, bringing in some interesting information. Why? He's not saying market's going to go up, market's going to go down. He said, nobody can predict the future. Isn't this interesting? This is a forecast. Every 6 months, since 1982, it's simply asking economists which direction interest rates are going to go. These are economists. Their job is to, like, predict and know what the economy's doing. That's what they do. Right? But we only ask them to do one little tiny thing, which you hear, whether it's prediction of interest rates from a mortgage company or a real estate company to Wall Street. Well, you know, because of inflation, rising concerns, and well, the thing is, and then you got to toss out all the terminology, right, to really kind of juice it up to how brilliant you are, you know. Money supply growth and things like that, where you really kind of, wow, that's a big brain. Whew. Wrong. 63% of the time, they're wrong. They're wrong. By the way, if interest rates stayed the same, it was a tie. Tie. Wrong. 63% of the time. Again, just to remind everybody, there are two sides to a coin. I know this is heavy math. If you flip a coin, approximately 50% of the time, it will be heads and 50% it will be tails. You can write that down. Book of Wisdom. Economists, are interest rates going up or down? They would have been far better off saying, hold it, somebody give me a quarter, and flipped it, than to think anything about it, because 63% of the time, they were wrong. I don't know how you could do that. Honestly, I honestly don't. know how you could do that. A blind monkey throwing darts can't do that. Flipping coins can't do that. But these are the people we listen to. That is, to me, fascinating and makes you stop and think all the time. This is since 1982. This is not two or three data points. It's a lot. There was one stretch they were wrong 7 6-month periods in a row. Seven. By the way, they've never been right 7 in a row. It's not even close. Not even close. It's just remarkable. You look at it, and so they just keep going. Are they going to catch up? No, it doesn't appear they're going to catch up. It appears to just be two-thirds of the time when we really think about what the future is going to be, we're wrong. Now, this is something that is so important to our own humility. It's so important. Everybody's running around feeling like you got to get all of the future right, and you don't. We really just have to get one simple thing. That's, if you want the big takeaway from last week and all these big brains out there talking for a couple of days, right? You just directionally have to get things about sort of in the ballpark. That's it. You don't have to hit, like, Idaho on the world map. You don't have to hit the United States. You just have to hit somewhere on Earth. Okay, what do I mean by that? If the economy is growing, and if the world is free, this is an important point. Very important. Then markets will do well. Because corporations will figure out, you allow, what I mean by free, we allow for creative destruction. We don't keep businesses that are just bad in business. You know, to say, for example, the Soviet Union would employ 80,000 people on a dock, okay? I went there. It was in Glasgow. And it was just like, all these people worked there. Now there's like 5,000 doing three times the amount of work. Okay, so we do have to allow for creative destruction. We have to allow for advancement, right? We have to. And that coupled with growth equals markets are going to do well. Period. Just put a period on it. That's what I mean by you don't have to say, oh, well, the very best stock is going to be X, Y, and Z. Doesn't matter. If the world is creative destruction and the world is growing, we will grow. Well, I don't like it when the market goes down. I don't either. But I kind of do, because then I can put more cash to work at cheaper prices, and that's always worked like really well. But it kind of freaks me out. I get it. Get over it. Right? That's part of the price you pay. But what I mean is that we don't have to get this exactly right. Are interest rates going to go up the next 6 months? I don't know. Kind of feels that way. If I'm going to be dumber than a penny, that's what I'm going to say. Okay? That's my prediction. But I don't have to be right. I don't have to be right at all. I'm not trading bonds. I'm simply looking at going, okay, do I think the world is going to grow as we exit COVID? Yep, I do. Do I think that more and more therapies, our ability to learn to just kind of live with COVID, is going to go away? Yep. Do I think that these constant lockdowns and silliness of running around and pretending we can close schools because there's really no effect on the fact that little kids with masks all the time, that is socially just really good for them? I'm sure their development is not retarded in any way. All of that's going to be changing because we can't be this stupid for this long. It doesn't. And it's getting better. And the numbers say so. And we've got vaccines. Maybe they're not 100% effective, but that's okay. We'll learn to live with it. So do I think in general things are going to continue to grow? The answer is yes. Do I think in general things will calm down in Washington, D.C.? Yes, I know. But I'm like Lucy of the football. I keep running at it, and then she pulls it away. I keep thinking that the press will be reasonable in the future, and they're not. But maybe someday people will get tired of it. I don't know. But in spite of it, we continue to grow. And that's all I really need to know. So as I look at that and I think about these things in a long-term perspective, I think this way. What is working? What's not working? Okay, I don't happen to have an electric car yet. I know I will, because there won't be any other kind of cars in the future. I've been in a Tesla. It's unbelievable what it is. And when you hear people talk about the Teslas and the actual cost of driving it and so on, and I don't mean because of gas, I mean maintenance. There's nothing to maintain. It's a software program. It runs on software. Oh, that's kind of weird. So they do updates all the time to the software to fix it. So people may not have their cars worked on for years. There is no routine maintenance other than download. Now that's different. And we start understanding this. And we say, well, okay, so we're going to have electric vehicles. What does that look like? Yeah, of course, Tesla's winning. Do you buy Tesla? I don't know. I mean, it means lithium. It means all these other things, right? But it means also big, big, big data, right? Because these cars are going to drive themselves. I want to drive. I'm not going to get a car. Drive yourself. Fine, whatever. Say what you want. The future's coming. You don't have to meet it and greet it and embrace it. But it's coming. I don't have to be right. I don't have to know exactly when. I don't have to say, I will never do this or that. Airplanes will never fly themselves. They already do, people. They already do. So I get all that, and we don't latch onto it. And I don't have to understand all of it. I don't have to understand what goes into a microchip to be able to own Micron or any of the semiconductor companies. NVIDIA, you know, maker of all the really crazy, incredible chips. None of that. But what we end up doing is we focus and we, like a laser beam, on the things that we think we have to figure out the minutiae about. We don't. What I need to know is what's going on with genetics. Not precisely what's going on with genetics, but something like this. In the 1980s, it took over $1 billion and 16 years to run all the way through the 6 billion DNA code we have in our bodies. That's a long time. Today, it takes a couple hours and $500. Where do I think that'll be tomorrow? It'll be shorter and cheaper. And what will that lead to? Maybe they'll figure out what gene or what's causing, fill in the blank. Leukemia, lung cancer, whatever it is, everything, Alzheimer's, and fix it. Maybe if we want, we can take, and this is real, I'm not making fun of it, we can spend our time worrying about the social implications of designing children. That's kind of weird and frightening, I know. It is. But we're going there. These are the things that we need to generally say. I don't need to know exactly that it's going to... Oh, I'm pretty sure I've got this nailed down. In the 18th month from now, that price will be $299 per genetic code sequencing. Not important. It just keeps going down. Predicting the future is not an exact prediction. And we don't have to predict that much to say electric vehicles, big deal. Genetics, big deal. Artificial intelligence, unbelievably big deal. We can go on and on. Biotechnology. The driving of the cost for healthcare might be right. We might be getting close, right? Why? Because of Teladoc and stuff like that. Pandemic was not good. Pandemic, bad. But we did learn some things during that, didn't we? That a lot can get done without actually being there. So you mean somebody with really high expertise, like they focus like a laser beam on this really rare disease that my kid has? So I need to go off to Houston because that's where they're at. Nope. But the guy in Houston, who's number one in the world about this, can check out everything and make recommendations to the local doctor. It's huge. And it's huge in everything. And what we need to, oh, well, this industry is going to die and that one's going to die. Sure, some of those are just pretty obvious, right? They are. But what we have to do is we have to see which companies, for example, in, say, heavy industry, like let's say chemicals, are embracing the technology that's going to make it more ESG friendly, let's say. That's going to make the chemicals less toxic. Because that's what they're going to do. And we're still going to use them. So we have those. We have companies that are falling behind, companies that are racing ahead. We don't have to be exact. We just have to say, this is generally what the future is looking like. I think this is where we get into a lot of trouble, is trying to be precise or demanding precision in something that's not necessary at all. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I've got Bob. I've got Terry up to bat right after this week. I just want to give you some time on the call, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. And, of course, once again, if you have comments and questions during the week, hit our regular website at petsofinancial.com. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to Robert. Robert, thank you for holding.
Hello, Dave.
Hi there.
What I called about was you talk about what you should invest in. Right now, the big thing is the chips, integrated circuits. Mm-hmm. And I worked in that business for some years. But I have 6 patents, and one of the patents involves mass producing.
Robert, what's your question, sir? I'm sorry. I know you've called before.
Sorry,
I just want to catch your question.
I've been cut off before. My question is you want me to ask a question? I'm telling you something, that the integrated circuits manufacturing, a lot of them are shut down now, and they're manufactured in foreign operations. They should be in the United States. And why aren't they? But I heard rumors that Micron is opening a factory in Meridian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's true or not.
I don't think it's in Meridian, but yes, they are in the United States. They're looking to spend $150 billion. That was kind of big news this week.
Okay. What I'm talking about. And what I can increase their productivity with a product I invented. I sell worldwide to nuclear power plants and to SpaceX. But I'm trying to get into to Micron to show them how to do this. And all their doors are locked.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're not open to these suggestions that will improve their productivity, evidently. You know, I've tried, and I've just about given up on it. Not yet completely.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also just got a patent on a power generator that's a major breakthrough I've worked on for 40 years. But to try to get somebody interested in it, why, the minute you talk about that and these things, you know, the doors are locked. And
mm-hmm.
I guess I have to pay to get in, something like that. But I can't do that.
Well,
but I'm trying to. I can see that the productivity is really demanding in chips. And
yep.
It's some production lines and Ford are shut down already because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And others are right on the brink of being shut down. But what this would do, this device would increase their productivity, and I thought they would be interested in it, although, I've been in this business many years now, and I've succeeded at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I sell to nuclear power plants, too.
That's great.
So I thought maybe they might want to know how I can increase their productivity. I set up a research lab for a company years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was a pretty famous lab. And there were scientists on loan from the highest level in the United States.
Well, Robert, I thank you. I thank you, and we wish you the very, very best. And I've got to run to the next caller before the news breaks. So thank you very much, and God bless. Let's go to Terry in Boise. Terry, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning, sir.
I did enjoy that.
I wanted to tell you, too. Let me think a minute here. I did enjoy the his podcast. Come on, you sent me something. What is it? Message to Garcia.
Oh, yes. Well, I discovered that when I was looking for stuff to send down to the young troop down in Fort Sam Houston.
There you go. It was Mike Rowe. That was it. Mike Rowe's.
Rowe podcast. Yeah. Listening to him for years. Well, again, we've been talking about his Mike Rowe Works Foundation, how he's
mm-hmm.
taking people and putting them through skills training versus college training.
Yeah,
learning how to do things instead of toe the line.
Exactly. So anyway, I just want to thank you for that. Go right ahead, sir.
Well, you're welcome. I sometimes wonder if I'm bothering the important man here with trivia, but
hey, you don't know when you're going to get through. You get through some trivia, you get through some good stuff. You know, it's all good.
Yeah. Anyway, to paraphrase poorly your advertisement, you know, you keep saying how to find peace with your money.
Yeah.
And how one manages your expectations is what you've been saying all morning, with the knowledge and all the information out there. So I still come back to badly paraphrasing George Carlin. It's a big club and you ain't in it.
Yeah, that's good.
So just relax and let people that are smarter than you do what they do best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. That is part of it. There's no doubt about that. I've watched people over the years and just let go of some of those things. And it's not just in finance. It's in various parts of our lives when we learn that this isn't our area of expertise. And I work hard at this. It's really a hard one for me. And it is. I work hard. I'm not very good at it. And that is that my need to be right. I'm working hard on that. And just accepting that I'm not always right, and it's okay. I don't need to prove to somebody else that I am. I just let go of it. I might be right. Go to bed. Just leave it alone. I don't need to prove to the other person or to this group that I'm right and they're wrong. Just let it go. And they're not going to be convinced anyway. So in some cases, right? And I'm not going to be convinced. So we all have to guard against that. But
you do the best you can with what you've got.
Yeah, and sometimes it's very little in different areas of our life. That's for sure.
Well, heck, how lucky did I get listening to you all those years ago and then finally breaking down and saying, why don't we let buy Charlotte a new pair of shoes and let Erica handle it?
There you go. That's right. That's right. It's true. It's just you let go of things that you're just not. This is now I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to unburden myself from trying to figure everything out.
It didn't stop my hair from falling out, but my attitude's a whole lot better.
Right. Yes. That's good. That's good.
Anyway,
I like
that's
that.
What I had for you.
I appreciate it.
Manage expectations and let the professionals do their thing. Get out of their way.
Right on. Right on. I like it. Terry, thank you.
Take care, sir.
Have a beautiful day.
Right. Bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Got to take a break for Fox News, and our board is clear. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. So please do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And let's see. I know what I wanted to do. Until somebody calls. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. This is very interesting as we go through it, and we all understand that, you know, what the obvious nature of some of the future, right? That technology is expanding and growing. Okay, that's great. But what we're living in now is this time that is kind of incomprehensible to human brains. It is. It's exponential technology, okay, right? Right? So it's like 30 steps is 30 meters, right? 30 exponential steps is like to the sun. It's stupid far. But that's what technology does. And in the early days, it's like, okay, so exponential is 1 to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 8. It's not a big deal at first. Or it's a microchip being shrunk, or its speed being increased from pretty slow to a little less slow, to a little less slow, to a little less slow every 18 months until it's like pretty fast. It's a super fast. I can't even comprehend how fast. And then the next time, we're into supercomputing. That's hard for us because our brains are linear. They're not exponential. And so when we think about technology in all of these ways, it's something that is very, very hard for us to wrap our minds around. That cars really are going to drive themselves like pretty soon. We probably will have flying cars. It's hard for us to think of that because right now they're not. Or we hear of the one accident that Tesla had because it was driving itself. Well, we don't hear that 1.2 million people every year globally are killed in auto crashes. That's not reported. So I'm not saying that we should immediately all not drive. But actually, we probably should. Everybody's running around, right? We got to get our kids vaccinated against something that doesn't hurt them. Hurry. But we don't worry every day about children drowning. They probably shouldn't leave the house because way more kids drowned last year than died of COVID. And way more suffocated. I'm not even talking about the flu or other childhood diseases. What we have to do is we have to worry about things that aren't really worth worrying about. But we do. It's who we are. It's not logical. It's not logical to say, I'm afraid of flying, so I'm going to go ahead and drive. That's not logical. But giving people all the data who are afraid to fly, giving them all the data as to why it's like really a bad idea to drive because it's like deadly dangerous doesn't fix it. It doesn't mean everybody goes, well, it's deadly dangerous to drive, so I'm not going to drive. We all drive. We just accept that it's deadly dangerous. I don't think of it like I get in the car and go, oh, my gosh. Oh, this is frightening. I have to drive home. I don't think that way. It's just a fact of life. And so is our transition. But when we're trying to transition, get through that, it throws us big time. So when we talk about stuff like genetics and I don't know genetics, but I don't have to understand that $500 from millions of dollars in 16 years down to 2 hours to analyze my entire DNA and to know where the mutations are and to begin to treat people on a cellular level is incredible. Do I think people are going to live to be 100 routinely? Of course. People born today, do I think if there's any reason, I'm making this up, that they're going to die before they're 130 or 50? I don't. But I don't know exactly the crossover point. And I don't know which company comes up with this or that, right? Don't have to. And I think we get caught up on that. We think of this and we always want more information. We like think about what investors want to know, right? They want to know the number of COVID waves and variants that are coming, right? That's what we want to know. And we expect the experts who didn't predict the global pandemic at all to get that right. And they can't get it right. We want to know what the likelihood of a market pullback is. But nobody predicted the fastest 30% drop ever. Okay. So we want the same people that couldn't predict that to tell us when the market's going to pull back. Tell us about what Fed policy is going to be. The geopolitics of China. They sure nailed inflation and taxation and rotation. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We really nailed that down, didn't they? Gosh, just boom. And with all of this, who would have thought we had historically low market volatility? But we want those to be predicted. And so we watch the TV. We watch all that's going on out there. We watch everything and get all this information in. Is it information? Probably no more than that. It's certainly not knowledge. It's certainly not wisdom. It's just data. The same people that can't predict a pandemic, the fastest market drop, a record vaccine rollout, a bounce back from the Delta variant to put a pause in our global recovery, couldn't possibly predict historically low market volatility, or that after a great year in 2020, we were going to have like a 20% year in the market in 21. Okay, where are those people? Now, we need those people, the same people that didn't get any of that right, to tell us what's going to happen. Sorry, but that's not going to happen. But this is what our drive as humans are. Instead of saying technology is exponential, I don't have to know exactly precisely what about it. I just know that it's changing everything in ways that are absolutely astounding. That's what I know. And I know that. I can't know exactly when. I can't exactly know when big data is going to solve and supercomputing, quantum computing, and all that stuff is going to solve cancer and cure it. But it will. But it will. I can't know exactly when healthcare costs are going to bend that curve. And we use, and we're able to zoom and do all those things. And maybe with big data's help and AI, we can stop running endless tests that don't help, that waste resources, and turn down the cost curve in healthcare. I don't have to hold my breath for that, but it's coming. And what I want to do is understand, too, that maybe I'm not, and I'm missing this whole Bitcoin thing, but I'm not going to miss the blockchain thing. That's real. And I'm not going to be thinking that banks are going to exist in their present form when people can use apps to do banking. And it's safer. You may not like that. You may like to go say hi to the teller that you knew until they changed jobs. I get that. But that's your choice. It won't change the fact that banks are going to change. Those are the kind of things that I think we want to try to predict the future about, right? Not all of it and precisely. And we don't have to. We just have to start understanding that financial technology is real. Genetics are real. Electric vehicles are real. Supercomputing, artificial intelligence, robotics, cybersecurity, these are all real. They're not flawless. They're not perfect. We still have evil and awful things in the world. China may take over Taiwan, and that would be a disaster. We do have a completely incompetent president. I get it. Not because I disagree. He doesn't know sometimes where he is or why he's there. That's frightening. This isn't I'm making fun of Joe and isn't that great? This is our leader, for crying out loud. That's frightening against a country like China. I get the fear. I get it. But all this technology. Yeah, but you can't take a Tesla to all the way to California. Yeah, probably you'd have to stop and fill it up with electricity somewhere. Oh, yeah, they call that gasoline, too. But I will say that the battery prices are dropping so fast. Their capacity is increasing so much. Again, it's exponential. I'm not here to sell you on Tesla at all. I don't even own Tesla. I don't. Or a Tesla. We don't have to predict the exact. That's my point. To know a lot or enough about investing in the future. And enough to wake up in the morning and go, hello, future. Bring it on. I can't wait to see it. It's exciting. It's thrilling. And some of it's frightening. It really is. I get it. But being caught up in the day-to-day, I got to predict this exactly right. It's wrong. It's wrong. And what else are you going to do? We're going to exit out and wait for China to invade. What if they don't? They probably won't. But what if they do? Yeah, but what if they don't? We just don't. You can't play that game all the time. But if we are advancing, and if we are free to advance creative destruction, this is going to work out fine. All right, David, I gotta hang you over. We're going to take our final break so you have plenty of time on the other side. It's 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thanks for joining us. If you want to catch a podcast, that's great. It's at petsofinancial.com. And we have lots of articles and calculators to help you with your financial planning. And you can also link to some of our YouTube as well there. Let's go to David in Caldwell. David, thank you for holding. Hey.
Oh, wow. Hey.
Hello? David?
Hello?
David, are you there?
I hear a bunch of music.
Okay, hang on.
Hi, okay.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great, great. Thank you, thank you. Gosh,
yeah,
I
you
don't
said
know
hello,
what I did.
And then all of a sudden I hear this bunch of music.
Oh, no.
Okay, whatever. Hey, I don't worry about my future. I know where I'm going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Good.
Anyway, my question is about Social Security. It kind of snuck up on me, and I realized, whoa, okay, now I'm eligible. I could be getting Social Security. I kind of want to wait because, you know, you get more when if you wait. But I'm wondering if when I die, will my wife continue to receive my Social Security?
Yes, or hers, whichever is the highest, not both. Okay.
So she would receive mine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if I'm not on Social Security, will she also receive Social Security?
Yes, and a great question. The answer is yes. And that's one of the reasons that waiting can also be, you know, let's call it less risky to you not getting any or your family not getting any Social Security is if you don't live a long time.
Well, I don't. My health condition is really not good.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That is not good. And maybe is a reason for you to go ahead and start it. But, David, you're right. It is something that does go to her. And if it would add more security, and it goes up 8% per year until you're age 70,
right?
Then if that's going to make a difference, then I would go forward. If it's not much of a difference, I'd draw it while you were alive. And okay. Because when you're down to one more person, it's obviously not as long a joint life expectancy. And she's still drawing hers now or could, correct?
No, she's not.
Okay.
She could, but she's not. Neither one of us are.
Well, if you start yours and she can draw half of yours, which is what I'm assuming you're getting at here, it would be hers. Is that what she would be at, or is she entitled to her own?
Well, she has worked, not a lot, but, you know.
What you want to do is you probably want to have, it's not a hard thing. You've gotten your information in the mail, okay?
Right.
And you can certainly call in to us, and we can run a simple Social Security analysis. It's lots of, you know, it's just a software program that we get, and you put it in, and it tells you what you should do. But then you have to weigh out the variables that, like, my health isn't very good.
Right.
That's a pretty big variable. And so probably you will know by looking at it, what is your Social Security? Let's make it up. Let's say it's $2,000 a month.
That's what, right.
Hers would be. Let's make this one up is because they send it out and then you look at it and you go, oh, it'd be $750 if she drew hers. Well, she can draw half of yours and it would be $1,000. So the answer is that, you know, you can know this by looking at your last statement that came from Social Security, or call them or what have you. And you can certainly extrapolate off of it if it, you know, it changes slightly every year, but that is one thought process for you. Is that you go ahead and start it, and then she would start it based on half. And then if something did happen to you, and it sounds like your health is not good, then she would simply swing over to yours.
Okay, so she couldn't take both, but she would take the larger of the amount.
Correct. David, what you're looking at is you're going to be, in the example we gave, would be $2,000 for you, $1,000 for her. If you pass away, she would go to $2,000. Not the three for the whole family that you were drawing.
Okay, so okay? She would lose hers, but she would gain mine.
That's correct.
Okay.
So, yes, if one person's health is poor, then normally it's best to turn it on. So I would look at that.
Okay, I think I will.
Normal, but not always. So think about it. Okay?
Okay. All right, thanks.
Good question. Thank you, and thanks for hanging on. All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, now I've locked this. I can't even get it. Okay, good. Take care of me, please. Thank you. I don't know what I did. I pushed the wrong button. That's pretty clear to me. I'm sure to everybody else, I pushed the wrong button. We have new phones, but they seem to work, except if I push the wrong button. All right, we're just about out of time. You can tell, this is interesting to me, that when I come back from really super high-level discussions that make my brain spark, And I do enjoy it. I enjoy thinking about those different things. And it doesn't mean that we have to predict the future. That's what's so important to come away with. If you will, if there's a little piece of wisdom that you gather as you go to all these meetings and you listen to lots of people, and a few of them are really super smart and all that stuff, is that you walk away knowing, I just don't have to know it all. I don't. And to have, you know, the arrogance that I've got to get it just right. I've got to nail down the timing of this, and I've got to prove that I'm right. We don't. And we're never going to get it right. And that's okay. We just don't know what the future is going to be at precise. But it will be amazing, because it always is. And we've gone through some tough times, whether it's a depression that nobody thinks about anymore. Because depressions or downturns in the market, if they last more than 3 days, everybody's ready to freak out. It's weird. We've gotten to be so complacent because we're so blessed.